Good morning and welcome to the Weldon Green podcast. Today I'm going to bring you a new episode of the Ask Weldon Show. You can check the show out live every day, 6:30 p.m. at twitch.tv/mindgamesweldon. And remember that everything in the Mind Games brand is supported by the Mac program, mindgames.gg/MAC. And you guys should use the code podcast as you're listening to the audio version of the show rather than the code that I share during the video. All right, let's hop into it.
Good morning and welcome to the Ask Weldon Show, episode 232. Yes, got it right. All right, episode 232. My name is Weldon, and this is my show. The show where you ask me questions and I answer them. Questions about sports psychology, performance, mentality, coaching and training in esport, or League of Legends related questions. So I am a professional esport coach and sports psychology trainer from traditional sport. To this day, I have won 4 championships due to that career. So feel free to dig into as advanced topics as you like. And if I cannot answer them, I will probably mix in a little bit of BS with excuses that I don't know this. So please don't ask me, and I'll try to direct you to the appropriate resource. Just kidding. It's not really BS if I know the science and I hedge it properly. I'm a reformed mansplainer, and I'm trying to reduce my mansplaining, mostly in my friendships, but I'll also try to do it with you guys, although it's hard because you guys ask me all sorts of questions about things that I don't know about, and I have to share the little bit that I do know as an opinion and then point you in the right direction without sounding like a advice giver. So that's a tough one. But anyway, okay. Today's show, by the way, you can call into the show. Use the Anchor app, anchor.fm/WeldonGreen, anchor.fm/WeldonGreen. That's my profile. You go there, you click the little plus message button. You can call into the show, submit your question. I need awesome questions, more and more awesome questions. I do the show every single day, 6:30 p.m. or 7:30 p.m. right now because the time zone changed. 7:30 p.m. Los Angeles time. On my live channel, which you can find in the description down below. I'm not going to say the word because right now it's being picked up by YouTube algorithms and censored off the internet. But anyway, you know what website people typically go live on with gaming content, so I'll let you figure that out. But for today's show, no other special announcements. I had the day off yesterday. There was no show. My son is 6 years old. It was his birthday. And we're going to kick it off again strong, so that I can be done with the show so I can go to the gym. All right. Roll the intro, Jerry. I need some intro music. Definitely. Definitely do. All right. This first question is from John, and it's about training to build confidence.
Hey, Weldon. So I often find that I'll train really hard before a match, and logically, I know I'm very prepared and maybe even likely to perform well, but I still feel a lack of confidence in myself when going into the match. Do you think this is because I'm not training in the proper way, which is preventing me from feeling more confident? Or is it because confidence itself is something I need to train? And if so, how should I do that? Thank you.
Okay, John, thank you very much for that question. So I do not think that, first of all, I would ask you to question the entire premise of your question in the first place. Why do you need confidence? What is special about confidence that you think is necessary for your performance? People who are very, very, very confident can walk straight into a match and lose. Then people who are very, very unconfident or not confident can walk into a match and win. So do you think somehow that confidence is predictive of performance? The answer is no. What is predictive of your winning and losing is your skill level, your competence. Okay. So what you want to feel is competent, not confident. Because that is the thing that actually matters for you winning or losing the match or the game. So I would say, first of all, run away from any sort of like pop culture idea that confidence is something necessary or important in performance. The only thing that's important is do you have the skill set needed to accomplish what you want to accomplish in this match? Do you have the bravery to do what is needed to do, and the focus, bravery that's needed to do what is, the bravery to do what is needed to do, at the moment that you have to do it? Do you have the guts to pull the trigger, essentially, without knowing if you're going to succeed or not? So most people are not brave. And so what they do is they have confidence, and then they're like, I'm going to pull this off and it's going to work. And then they pull the trigger and then they lose, and they're like, oh, shoot. Well, I was confident and I lost. But they're not using the confidence to win or lose, right? They're using the confidence to substitute for their authentic shame and to cover up their lack of bravery and to like essentially go for it when they need to, right? That's a very useful tool, by the way. This is a totally normal psychological response, and using bravado in order to make yourself aggressive is totally fine as far as I'm concerned. But it shouldn't be the aspiration. It shouldn't be like, I'm going to train myself to have very strong bravado, and then I will be confident, and then I will be able to take action instead of freeze, and then I will, what? And then you'll take action more. And then at the end result of that action, your skills will determine what's going to happen anyway. So instead, what I would rely on, if you're going to train this, what I rely on is not training confidence at all. Just don't even think about confidence. You need to train your ability to, in complete lack of confidence, execute on the play that you know you need to execute on, which means that you might lose it, and you know ahead of time that you might lose it, but you do it with full focus and effort anyway. That's it. Just swallow that pill, and once you swallow that pill, it's so easy to act. I mean, it's so simple. Okay, it's not easy. It's literally the hardest thing ever, but it's really simple. Okay, good question, and thanks for letting me clarify that. I hope it was useful. Next question is from Manuel Arango. Let's jump in.
Hello, Weldon. My name is Manuel. I am from Colombia, and I have this doubt about how to be an esports psychologist. I will end my undergrad in psychology in 1 year. Right here in Colombia, psychology is most about social psychology and clinical psychology. And I want to be part of the esports world, but in my university, I don't have much content about sports psychology. What are your recommendations to be an esports psychologist to get into this world of esports? Do I go to do a master's degree in another country like Spain or Mexico that I have the possibility? Do I start a brand? Do I do both? What are your general tips? Thanks.
All right. So, another flavor of the question, how to become an esports psychology trainer. And it's from Columbia, somebody in their bachelor's degree. All right. So, first of all, I would say you need to understand how you're hedging your bets, right? Because sports psychology is a very, very, very small job field with very, very few opportunities, okay? This is not the field you go into if you want a job. You will most likely be unemployed forever until you start your own company and become a consultant. And then, even then, you'll only have as many jobs as your sales capabilities. So, what that means is you need to think about doing sport and health psychology, or sport psychology and abnormal psychology, or sport psychology and health policy, or some sort of combination of the like large population. So the elite sport population is very small, and then people who are trying to be healthy is very large. And sports psychology is the same. It studies the motivation of exercise. If you go down to exercise psychology, it's quite similar. And it's also more important for the world, and therefore more rewarded, and there's more jobs. So you can kind of like keep yourself safe while pursuing this by making sure that you're going to joint degrees that have like exercise and sport psychology, or like sport psychology and exercise and health policy, things like that, so that you kind of get both the elite sport and the study of motivation and physical activity kind of in there. Okay, so that's just my spiel about job opportunities, but if you're still committed to doing this, then what I recommend is two things. First of all, experience. You should start coaching. If you're not already coaching, you should start coaching right now in Colombia, wherever you can. Volunteer coaching in football, in esport, in whatever thing that you can volunteer in, that you can find an opportunity, like just take it, right? You just need to be coaching more. Most of the skills that I use every single day as a sports psychology trainer are coaching skills. So, and those aren't not taught very well. So you have to get lots more experience with them. I had honed my skills through coaching and through teaching and through lecturing and through mentoring. And so, yeah, your ability to do this is all going to depend on the trajectory of your life. And so just start that journey now. The second thing you should do, since your university doesn't offer you esports psychology program or sports psychology training in any way, is to start self-educating yourself. So you need, there's a whole bunch of books out there that you can probably find in your library, maybe, if you're lucky, or if your university has like an online system, you can find them. Things by like SAGE research books, S-A-G-E, things by Routledge, R-O-U-T-L-E-D. I don't know who the Spanish printers are, but essentially it's things like Applied Sports Psychology or The Fundamentals of Sports Psychology or... let me see if I have this book over here. Things like this, like Tenenbaum's like Handbook of Sports Psychology. So you just find those books and you just start reading them. Where can I put this thing? It's freaking 200 pounds. Okay, anyway. Sorry about that loud noise. So anyway, you just start reading them. You don't need a course to tell you to read a book. You know, like normally, what are you paying for university, right? You go to university, the teacher says, here, read this. Oh, wait, you want your money's worth. Okay, instead of you reading it, I will teach it to you on the board. Okay, well, Finland is a very efficient education system. One of the reasons I like it is because all of the stuff that's in a book, they feel like you don't really, they don't really need to teach it to you. Like, you're just being lazy. Just go read the dang book and learn it. So they just have this thing called a book exam. So you just go read the book, and then you take it to a teacher who's read it before or knows the stuff, and they're like, okay, I got to write an exam for this book to prove that you've read it. So here's three questions, answer those. And you answer them, and they're like, okay, good, you read the book. So now you know that stuff. And then they go and they teach their expertise. So you go to a lecture and they like talk all day long about how what they're doing and what they're researching. And you're like, oh, I'm not learning the fundamentals of whatever it is I'm studying. And they're like, well, then go read the book. Like, they know it better than I do. The authors of the book, you know, they put more time into it. So anyway, give yourself a bunch of book exams, but do not walk into your like neighborhood books. There's no neighborhood bookstores anymore. Who am I kidding? Don't call Amazon and ask them for all of those weird pop science books like The Talent Code and The Inner Game of Tennis and those kind of things. Like, that's useless to you because there's no science and there's no theory in it. There's nothing that you can build a career on. So you should learn the science of sports psychology starting right now. Okay, then your main question, do I go to grad school or not? And the answer is, if possible, yes. And you should definitely do it in Spain because there's tons of opportunity now that football is exploding in Spain for just like the economy of Europe in terms of sport is much more supportive of sports scientists and sports psychology trainers than the economy of South America. So if possible, you should definitely do a graduate degree, master's degree of sports psychology in Europe, and you should aim to intern as much as you can. I have another friend from Colombia who's here in Spain and is working in esport as well. Who is here in Europe and is working in esport as well. So yeah, it's definitely a transition you should make. It's much more, I would say, easygoing and structured environment for sports psychology than North America. North America is like, you got to sell yourself the job. There's not a lot of internship opportunities running around. Whereas in Europe, like especially in Spanish language, there are plenty of connections that universities have. It's easier to foster those connections. Professionals, institutions more rely on professional institutions and paper to certify that you're like an authentic person and to hire you. So it's a little bit easier if you're in a master's degree, I think, in Europe, to get a position of some sort of internship or some sort of experience, I believe. I think in the US, it's kind of more of a Wild West kind of thing where you got to find, you literally have to go out and find all the opportunities yourself because there's just not a lot. Exercise and health psychology is totally different. There's plenty of stuff for that. But anyway, okay. Those are my suggestions, Manuel. And I hope that they were useful. Kind of railed in depth for a while there, but there was a lot to say. All right. Final question.
Hey, Weldon. Sam, aka Just Casual here from Madison, Wisconsin. I wanted to get your input on preparing for an interview. What kind of things would you do, especially in the esports industry where it might not be as professional as maybe something traditional like engineering? Maybe I'm wrong about that assumption, but I would love to get to know what you would do or what your advice is for preparing for an interview. Thanks, Weldon.
Okay. Interesting question. Thank you very much, Sam, for the call-in. Sam, if you guys don't know, is a really cool guy. He has a YouTube channel where he covers like content marketing, I think, and vlogs about how to build his career in esport. Mostly the vlogs are the entertaining stuff. Just Casual vlogs. One of my favorite vlogs on YouTube right now. Okay. Just because Sam's dry sense of humor and self-deprecation about himself. I don't like the self-deprecation. I just like the dry sense of humor. Okay. How to prepare for an esports interview. This is the part where I don't mansplain. I don't know. I have no idea. But let me think about my experience and I'll tell the story of my experience and you guys can extract as much value of it as you like. So I have done several esports interviews and gotten jobs from them. They're basically very different from any esports interview that most other people are going to have because I'm usually 10 years older than the person who's interviewing me and I'm usually an expert and know exactly what I'm talking about and they don't. And I usually am selling them on the whole idea of sports psychology is a science anyway and they're mostly just trying to figure out if they're going to spend the money in their budget on this. So they're trying to figure out what is the impact that they're going to get. And I'm trying to be very practical about explaining that and showing what we're going to do. And they're very often not comparing me with anybody else. Or if they are, they're just like, well, we would get Weldon if we could afford him because he's the best. Obviously. But we're going to hedge it with this other person who might be semi-impactful, but is cheaper. So, in the backdrop of that, my experience with esport interviews is that you have to tell them what your job is, outline it very clearly for them, give them a quote on it and a pricing on it for yourself, and then hire yourself. That's my experience. So, for example, my friend Tim messaged me. He's like, I'm trying to get a team to hire me to build them an app. And I was like, well, then you need to describe the app, what it's going to do for them, how much it's going to cost, how long it's going to take, interview with them, show them all of this stuff, pitch them on it, sell them on it, have them fit into their budget, and then tell them to hire me, and I'll do it. And then, like, yeah, then they will. Or they won't, most likely. But anyway, it's kind of like, if you're in a field that is not yet in esport, there's not a job yet in esport, you have to create your job by pitching it. It's like a pitch contest. And you have to include a business plan with that. You know, they have to know what is the name, what do you do, what are the deliverables, what's the impact on the business or the company, how much is it going to cost, what's the timeline, these kinds of things. And you have to do that because the industry doesn't even know what it needs at this point. But if you're applying to a place where there's jobs and there are people they already hire and now you're looking to get hired by them and you're competing with other people who are kind of doing the same thing already, then I would say it's probably pretty normal to a job interview. there's a lot of like first impressions thing matters so much. There's a lot of networking and nepotism. There's a lot of, we've already made our decision before we even do the interviews, but we have to do the interviews because maybe something crazy will happen, or we're just told we have to do the interviews anyway. Be that crazy thing that happens, I guess. It's my advice. Sorry, I don't have any more practical advice. That is the show today. Thanks for tuning in, guys. I keep forgetting to put the advertisement between question two and question three so that I still have you guys before you leave. But don't end the YouTube video because I'm going to say something after this ad. Something very important. Okay? Check out my Mac training program. Mindgames.gg/MIC. The funds from this program support all the development of the new app right now. And, of course, everything is ready now for the app, pretty much, except for the content. Most of the content is done, but that's a lie. Some of the content is done. I'm working on it. But the business structure is in place. The app is there, and I just need to like finish off the coding, and that takes money, so it's just sitting there waiting for money to pay the coder so that he can code it. So we've had some great donations today, and you can continue in that vein by getting value for your donations by going and checking out the Mac program, mindgames.gg/MAC. If you are in the Mac program when the app goes live, which, of course, you get permanent access when you purchase the Mac program, so why wouldn't you be? Because you haven't bought it yet, that's why. If you're in the Mac program when the app goes live, you get into the beta. So that's cool, right? You can be in a beta. Maybe that's not cool. Somehow the tech industry made you trying out their products and finding all the bugs for them cool. Huh. Anyway, moving on with that, make sure to use the code AskWeldon to get a $5 discount and so that I know that you came from YouTube or the other video website that I'm not going to say the name of, because then YouTube's transcribing algorithms will see that word and then flag my video for some reason, for demonetization. But anyway, you know which website I'm talking about. If you're there also, you can do the code AskWeldon to get your discount. And that's it for the advertisement. That's it for the show. Thank you so much for tuning in today. See you tomorrow morning. Same time, same station. Send in your questions. Call them in anchor.fm/WeldonGreen. Check out the Mac program. And I will see you guys next time. That's the show for you today. I hope that you guys enjoyed it. Remember, you can check out the show live at twitch.tv/mindgamesweldon every day, 6:30 p.m. And you can join the pre and post show chat where I answer questions from the audience in depth. We can kind of dig into them deeper because you're there to respond. And make sure that if you check out the Mac program, mindgames.gg/MAC, that you guys use the code podcast. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.